ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text Number 12. Naishkamyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Na shobhate jishanam alam nirashjanam. Kutapuna shasvara badram ishvare. Na charpitam karma yad apyakaranam. Naishkamyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Nashobate jashanam alam nirashchanam. Kutapuna shashvara badram ishvare. Nacharpitam karma yad apyakaranam. Naishkamyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Nashobhate jishanam alam nirashchanam. Kutapuna shashvara badram ishvare. Nacharpitam karma yad apyakaranam. Chapitam karma yad apyakaranam. Naishkamyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Nashobhate jasalam nirashjanam. Kutapunashvaranam padram ishvare.
Ladies, please.
Any other ladies? any other men. Okay. Synonyms. Naishkarmyam. Self-realization. Being freed from the reactions of fruit of work. Api. In spite of. Achyuta. The infallible Lord. Baba. Conception. Varjitam. Devoid of. Na. Does not. Shobate. Look well. Jishanam. Transcendental knowledge. Alum. By and by. Nirashjanam. Free from designations. Kuta. Where is Puna? Again. Shashvat. Always. Abhadram. Uncongenial. Ishvare. Unto the Lord. Na. Not. Cha. And. Arpitam. Offered. Karma. Fruitive work. Yat api. What is akaranam, not fruitive? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Please repeat. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Purport. As referred to above, not only ordinary literatures devoid of the transcendental glorification of the Lord are condemned, but also Vedic literatures and speculation on the subject of impersonal Brahman, when they are devoid of devotional service. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above ground, then what to speak of ordinary fruitive work? Does everybody know what fruitive... How many do not know what the word fruitive means? Raise your hand, please. Everybody knows? I'm going to call you. You're going to have to give a definition. Okay? So you all know? Okay. Prabhu, what's fruitive mean? Yeah. And the what? Yeah, but what kind of a fruit? No. Okay. Does anybody know what kind of a fruit? Yes. A what? Yeah, basically pleasurable. In other words, there are bitter fruits and there are pleasurable, sweet fruits. So generally speaking, when Prabhupada uses this word, it means persons who are looking for something in the material world which will give them personal pleasure. This is called fruitive activity. Fruitive work in which almost all people in general are engaged is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. So this is very interesting, how fruitive work, going for personal pleasure, can be turned into, reversed, changed around to something positive and useful. Can somebody? I can't hear you from here. I'm sorry. Okay. So when speculation, yeah, thank you. Sorry about that. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above ground, then what to speak of ordinary fruitive work, which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service? It's for personal pleasure. Such speculative knowledge and fruitive work cannot lead one to the goal of perfection. Fruitive work, in which almost all people in general are engaged, is always painful either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is confirmed that the result of such fruitive work may be offered for the service of the Lord. Otherwise it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead, and thus when it is engaged for the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. Omagyana timiranda syagananjana shalakaya chakshur unmalita tam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So I would like to take it line by line, the purport, and just try to expand if I can, or clarify if I can, some of this, which is really a wonderful purport, because it shows us how to change our normally inclined food of work into devotional service. So, it says that not only ordinary literature is devoid of the transcendental glorification of the Lord, what are they called? A pilgrimage place for what? For crows, yes, they are condemned. But also Vedic literatures and speculation on the subject of impersonal Brahman, when they are devoid of devotional service, they are also condemned. So Srila Prabhupada makes a very big to-do, and very wisely, very wonderfully, about impersonal Brahman. And here he mentions impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. In other words, when persons simply meditate on the impersonal Brahman, meditating on the infinite light, absorbing oneself in that infinite light, and thereby imagining that one is, or I am, God, this is also condemned, and it's useless, and much more, it's false. So generally what happens is people like this concept of impersonalism. They like it mainly because it allows them to believe or imagine or think that they are God. And actually, we all came down into this world, originally from the spiritual world, to taste what it's like, to experience what it's like, to fathom what it's like, to feel like a lord, to be like a master, to be a controller, to be a dictator. So we wanted that experience. And although we may have accomplished it in this material world, some of us may have become great athletes, or may have been great actors, or may have achieved high positions in society with respect to earning lots of money, or being having a big position in a corporation, or having a big position in some sports teams, such as basketball or football, or having a big position in the acting field. So one may have achieved or accomplished that, but it only brings a certain amount of, as is mentioned here, very temporary or momentary pleasure. You do great, a best player award. We need to keep getting awards so that we can keep feeling that we're top dog, that we are great leaders, that people admire us, that we are superior to all others who have not achieved such a position. Yeah, so that gives one a false sense of happiness. It's false because you have it for a few moments, and then if somebody excels us, gets a higher position, does better than us, we are now dropped down and we are not the top dog. We are now we're next to the top dog. So therefore, what is the value? And then another one person comes on and he outdoes our position. And now we've dropped down to third or fourth. So what happens is that when a person is not feeling like a master or controller or a lord or a manipulator or a person who is somehow has control over things, what happens is that he feels like an ordinary person. And nobody wants to feel ordinary. Everybody wants to feel extraordinary. Because extraordinary means leader. It means superior. It means big time. And actually, there's nothing wrong with being big time or being a superior or being great. If, of course, it is done as a love offering for Krishna and one attributes all his glory, all his greatness, all his power to the Supreme Lord, then one is simply a simple servant in a position of lordship or generalship or captainship, presidentship, whatever it is. One may be big, 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 but actually in his heart of hearts, he feels small, 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 because he's only a servant of the Lord. And if you're in that mentality, then those positions can never hurt us, can never harm us, can never disturb us, can never upset us. They upset us, disturb us only when we actually identify ourselves with the position and feel that we are superior, we are better than, we are greater than all those little people out there. This is the mentality. So this is what people strive for. And this egotistical pleasure, that's really all it is. The ego is the sense of I am the body. That's what ego, the false ego is. And when I think that my body is better than your body, bigger than your body, greater than your body, superior to your body, that is what is called false ego happiness. Okay? So when we, that's all what people are striving for. Nothing more, nothing better, nothing greater than just false ego happiness. I'm great, I'm big, I'm wonderful, so many people applauding me, so many people looking up to me, so many people bowing down to me. Wow, me, 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 mine, 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 I, and that is the rant. So this is unfortunate, because as one grows older, the sound of the crowd grows dimmer. And as the sound of the crowd grows dimmer, then we are not feeling as great, as big, as grand, as magnificent as we would like to. So what do we feel like? We feel depressed. And that's what so many people today are. They're depressed because they don't feel big, great, grand, heroes. And if you're not a hero in today's world, quite often you're condemned as being a nothing, a nobody, a useless, good for nothing. It's unfortunate, but that's the way people tend to think. So we, as a result, for example, if I feel like I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, well, how do I deal with that? Well, one way I can deal with it is identify myself with somebody who is supposedly a somebody. A big actor, a big sports person, big politico, and we identify ourselves with that person, so when that person is going up, we're going up. When that person is going down, we're going down due to this false identification. And if this person really goes down, 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 we don't want them anymore because we're not feeling big anymore. We're feeling tiny, insignificant, worthless, inconsiderable. So what do? Find a new hero, a new idol with which to identify. So that's one way in which people deal with it. But it's a very, very incomplete and very insufficient way to really feel good about oneself. because it's all being hung upon, it's being depended upon somebody else's rise or fall. That's one way. Another way that people deal with this feeling or sense of inferiority or insecurity or smallness or ordinariness is they take to various kinds of intoxication. That helps you to forget that you're Mr. Nobody. And you can think you're the president. You can think you're the prime minister. You can think that you're the greatest star in the world. For example, there are some people, they take PCP. I've read a few of these cases. So they take this PCP and it's a drug. And they feel that they are super powerful. Actually, some of them actually, the quotes, feel that they're actually Superman. I can do what Superman can do. And many of them have jumped off buildings thinking that they'll fly. But they didn't fly. Their bodies were splattered all over the concrete floor, and that was the end. This is PCP. So therefore, as we can see, a person gets a feeling of high, thinks he can do things which he really cannot do, and the net result is that he simply harms or hurts or even kills himself. I was reading many cases like that. And then there's other kinds of intoxication where a person simply gets drunk, he gets giddy, you know, and he just cheers himself up and thinks that he is whatever he wants to be. And then there's a very big epidemic in this country of the morphine-based drugs. Now, heroin, of course, was generally outlawed, but now the government has allowed the general public basically to take heroin on a legal basis. It's called OxyContin. It's a painkiller, and it's a morphine base. So the result of that is that people who want to get high, they want to feel peaceful, they want to feel joyful in a false way through some imposition as opposed to real happiness, which comes from loving devotional service. So what they want to do is, so they get a prescription from one doctor and then another doctor and a third and a fourth and a fifth. Some people have 6, 7, 8 prescriptions for OxyContin. And then they go to the different drugstore, they get it filled, and they can stay, you know, high all day until they overdose, which is happening very frequently throughout the country. In fact, it was just mentioned, for some of you who keep up with the news, is that the life expectancy of human beings in the last 2 years has gone down. Why is that? Because more people are dying of overdoses of OxyContin. So the life expectancy goes down. Before, there were more people living, let's just say, to 75. But now these people who would normally live for 75, they're dying at 65 in an overdose of OxyContin or some of those other drugs. So here we are. The government is now enabling and helping all of the citizens to become drug addicts. Isn't that wonderful? This is what we're paying taxes for. So before, the drug addicts, they would just arrest them in jail, you know, and jail them for a while. But now the government said, well, why are we spending money on and imprisoning them when we can actually let them go free? And we can get the taxes from the pharmacists who are selling this junk. So that's just an example. So the important point that I'm trying to make is that all these types of fruitive pleasures which we seek in the material world, as it's mentioned by Srila Prabhupada here, that it will give us a temporary high, it may give us a temporary pleasure. And this egotistical pleasure, which is the sense and feeling that I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm glorious, this is an illusion. So many people are living in this illusion, and they become disillusioned when they begin to lose their status as a big shot or a big timer in the material world. So they lose the status, and then they feel small again and insignificant, worthless, and begin, as I said, either identifying with someone who's a big shot because they're no longer a big shot, or identified like sometimes fathers, they see their sons growing up and being heroes, they identify with their sons because they feel that the son or the daughter is an extension of themselves, and therefore they feel especially great when daughter or son does great, and feel horrible when sons, daughters go feel bad. I used to see certain pictures of parents during Little League games, and if their sons lost or the sons struck out, parents didn't even want to talk to their kids. Can you imagine? I mean, kid, he's a strikeout. He's a loser. What's the point of having a son as a loser? I want a winner. Probably some of you have had, maybe you've seen some of this stuff. When the kid strikes out, parents go like this. Oh, God, why did we produce such a loser? Too bad. Unfortunate. Such parents should be shot because they're destroying the life of their children. Every child, whether he's a loser or a winner, should be respected, should be honored, should be encouraged to do the very best that he can. And if he doesn't do great, he's still to be loved, because that's what real love is. You love your child, whether he's big shot in the external world, little shot. The main thing is that he's lovable, and we have the opportunity to try to help him or her do as well as possible. So I'd like to move on to this one or two other points that Srila Prabhupada makes very nice here. Yes, this is most important. Fruitive work in which almost all people in general are engaged is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. Well, as we know, when we want to achieve something big, something great, something very honorable, you have to strive hard. You have to work your butt off, as we say, and keep perspiring. Sometimes, let's just say you want an example. A person wants to buy a Porsche car, a Lamborghini, you know, one of those real high-end cars. So his eight-hour job is not going to do it. So he gets another job in which he works for 4 to 6 hours. So now he's working 8 and 6, he's working so hard. And at the end of the day, he's ready to collapse. But he's got that beautiful Porsche in his head, so that when he drives down the street, everybody says, "Hey, Jimmy's got a beautiful, wow, look at that." And as people point to it, people look at it, people admire it, he's feeling up at the stars. So this is what, so it's painful to achieve that. And is it really worth it? Because you get this Porsche, or you get this Lamborghini, or you get this whatever sports car. And then what happens is that at the end of the year, somebody new comes out. He's got a better one. He's got the latest version. So you're passé. You're worthless. You're good for nothing. So now you have to work again, maybe 18 hours, to get the next one, trade in the one you have. It's a vicious cycle of madness. And people are living just for those accomplishments and those attainments. It's very unfortunate. So it's painful at the beginning, and even at the end it's painful. And I've just given you an example of how it's painful at the end, because now you're a nobody, before you were a somebody, and now you've got to work hard again to become a somebody. It's a very, very vicious cycle. So, but here's the good side. It can be fruitful only when made subservient. This fruit of activity, it doesn't mean that we should go ahead and be striving for a Porsche, that's going to somehow bring us happiness. But we may strive for some position. Possible. We may want to be doing very well in a particular profession. Could be in a lawyer. It could be whether it's acting or musician or whatever. There is no harm in striving for a position to do well. If we do well with the idea that I'm doing this as a love offering to Krishna, because he is the source of all ability. He's the source of all talent. He's the source of all expertise. So my dear Lord, I pray, please help me to become better so that I can glorify you. Lord Yudhishthira, he wanted to do the Rajasuya sacrifice. For what reason? So that he could glorify Krishna. And that's what he did. And when it was a time to elect the president of the Rajasuya sacrifice, it was mentioned Yudhishthira and then Sahadev. They glorified Krishna to the heights of heights. Of course, Shishupal didn't particularly like that, and he came on and then began condemning Krishna one after another. Of course, Krishna had made a promise to Shishupal's mother that he would never kill him unless he committed 100 offenses. So Shishupal was making one offense after another, putting down Krishna, condemning him, slamming him, saying horrible things about him, calling him a cowherd boy. Calling him just a cow milker, calling him just a farmer. He's the greatest warrior in the world, but this is how Shishupal was trying to feel. So Krishna was counting. He was counting 41 offenses, 42 offenses, 48, 62, 64, 83, 84. Remember, he made a promise to Shishupal's mother. After 100, I kill him. So you better train him really nice, because if he makes 100, he's finished. So he's getting 88, 94, 99. Finally, he hit 100. Krishna put the finger up. The Sudarshan Chakra started whirling around. Woo! Out for the head. Boom. His head was on the ground. And that was the end of Shishupal. That was the end of his condemning days of condemnation. So, but Krishna was very much of a gentleman. Can you imagine? He took 100 offenses, and notwithstanding that he took 100, he could have killed him after the first offense. But he was showing compassion. He was giving him a chance to shut up. But Shishupal wouldn't shut up. His motor mouth just kept going. So here's the good point, and that is, it can be fruitful. Fruit of activities when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is confirmed that the result of such fruit of work may be offered for the loving service of the Lord. That's good. In other words, as I was just mentioning, let's just say you want to be the president, or you want to be some great actor, or you want to be a great book distributor, whatever it is. It's done, as it's mentioned here, as a loving service to the Lord. So we become great, but we don't identify ourselves with the result. As Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So never never consider yourself to be the cause of the result. Well, who is the cause? The cause is Krishna. So once we know that if I do something great, I do something wonderful, I do something glorious, I do something which is spectacular, if I keep in my mind that is coming by the grace of Krishna, that is coming by his affection, his mercy, just as he made Yudhishthira look so great, Arjuna look so great, he wanted to glorify his devotee. So if we get the position to be glorified in some way, like are we the best in North America for book distribution? Is that our position now? Savas? With number one, yeah. So therefore, Savas is in a very awkward position. So he can identify himself, or he can say, well, this is all the mercy of Krishna, and whatever came out of me to inspire these devotees, to push, to do, to give their very best, that all comes from Krishna. So I give all the credit to Krishna. And I stand back as simply a simple, humble servant. And being a simple, humble servant, I don't get what people get is called the false pride of thinking that I'm the doer, that I'm the great person, that I'm the wonder. And when people compliment me, they applaud me, they congratulate me, I accept it graciously, but in my heart of heart, who do I give it to? I give it to my spiritual master, who deserves to receive that, because it is by his grace that I have taken shelter of him and taken shelter of Krishna, and by so doing, this great result has been accomplished. So as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, is if you offer this service, if we offer the service to the Lord, and the Lord crowns us with some spectacular result, then that can be very wonderful as long as we never think that we are the ones who are really doing it. Once we begin thinking, I'm the doer, I've achieved it, I'm great, I'm spectacular, I'm superior, we are dead. Dead from pride. And pride is the killer. So, therefore, we have the opportunity to use our service and become great, yes, be wonderful through Krishna's mercy, and by so doing, give pleasure to the Supreme Lord, give pleasure to the spiritual master, give pleasure to the devotees. And when we give pleasure to them, and this is positive pleasure, this is devotional pleasure, this is glorious pleasure. And when the devotees have and gain that kind of pleasure, they go up. Because they use that as an example, as a great man does, common men follow, whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, therefore, other devotees seeing some devotees doing well, themselves want to do well. And that's a wonderful, great thing, because it's the contagion of transcendental emotion, which leads to transcendental consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments that anyone would like to make? No? Everybody agrees? You sure? I'll give you 3 seconds. 2, 3. Everyone is excused. Prasadam! Go for it. Hare Krishna.